Maulana Sahib has informed us of some very beneficial points, a very concise and beneficial statement. Alhamdulillah, I benefited from that so much, and most definitely you will have benefited from his words as well. And following on from what Maulana Sahib said, I would like to just continue on from there and explain the discussion a bit further. Maulana Sahib, in the light of the Quran, presented a big reality. And this is not for today, it is rather from the beginning, because the Quran testifies on this point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to mention this point in emotion, Allah conceal this and see, or reveal this and seal this in the Quran, because the Quran will continue until Qiyamah, Judgment Day, and until Qiyamah this message will be delivered and will reach to the makhluk, the creation. So what we realize is that this feeling and emotion that has been mentioned in the Quran, this will continue to be found in people until Qiyamah. So these words that Mawlana Sahib mentioned in the light of the Quran, I won't give tafsir, rather I will just present the same subject in front of you, the point that Mawlana Sahib made. Now, this is, you can say, a complaint from Allah to the human beings, or this is also a way of pulling the human beings together and to give him islah and to rectify and improve the human being. This point that was made, that look here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can there be a greater reality than the Quran of Allah for us? If insan has Quran and he has Iman, and then he has masjid, he has the ulama, the scholars, we have bayans or lectures, and the messages delivered to us, everything is in front of us, and even then we steer away from Allah's ahkams, Allah's orders. We have to think about this. Why? Despite having all of these sources of guidance, we have Iman, we have belief, we have Quran, we have understanding, so much understanding that if you tell us anything to do in the world, we'll implement that duty like nobody else. Within minutes and seconds, we will solve that case. If we want to find out different ways of different things, we'll find thousands of methods that will devise me, you, all of us, we're the same. So what's the reason that there's a reality, and a big reality? And about that, Allah Ta'ala's whole Quran tells us, and Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala Himself tells us. And we don't understand. We don't want to understand. I will present to you a saying of my Hazrat, my Shaykh, that I heard from him. Most definitely this statement of Hazrat's, my Hazrat will definitely have heard this from his Shaykh, from Hazrat Fazal Ali Qurayshi, rahmatullahi. And Hazrat Fazal Ali Qurayshi would have heard from Hazrat Sirajuddin, his Shaykh, rahmatullahi. And he will have heard from his Shaykh, Hazrat Usman Damani, rahmatullahi. And he will have heard from his Shaykh, Hazrat Dost Muhammad, rahmatullahi. And this would have continued back to Hazrat Abu Bakr Sadiq, radiyallahu anhu. And we, because we are Naqshbandi series, the Naqshbandi silsila, we have a link with the Naqshbandi order. So I heard from my Shaykh, and then I will present that to you now. Allah Ta'ala's walis, their statements are a great benefit for humankind. And there's islah in them. There's nothing made up in there. There's nothing fake in there. Very simple words with pain from the depth of heart. The Hazrat explained and mentioned, and I have got that recorded by chance when I was coming. Then it's my habit that first I read Hazrat's maktubat. So before I came, I had some time and I read Hazrat's maktubat. And then this statement came out, which I'm presenting to you. Hazrat stated that, look my friends, this dunya is temporary, short, and the items of the world are temporary, houses are temporary, land is temporary, wife and children are temporary, all of the things of the world that you see are temporary. And if these were not temporary and short-lived, then ask such a person who you know who is very close to you, your father, your mother, your uncle, your father's brother, your mother's brother, etc. You see them departing from this world and they go to such a place that after that they will never come back. They never come back. It happens that somebody goes Pakistan, comes back, India comes back, Bangladesh comes back. But this is an ajeeb musafir that we see them off. Lots of people see them off. And then people come back, but that person doesn't come back with them. And when they go on the journey, they don't take anything with them. They don't take anything with them. They leave everything here. They take their clothes off. They leave their luggage, their items, their belongings, their personal belongings here. So somebody should ask that journeyman who leaves this world that you're not taking anything with you. This whole life that you are amassing, making, saving, and for example, you made effort and you run around, that take something with you. But nothing is taken with that person, nor does it come back, nor does it go with that person. My brothers, this is a reality, such a big reality in front of us, that if we were to pay attention to this, that why don't we understand these points? Why don't we understand these facts? The reality of life. Why don't these messages get absorbed by our minds and hearts, and so that we can act on them? What's the reason? There's a reason the Quran has mentioned. فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضًا فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا. Allah Ta'ala said this in the Quran. Allah Ta'ala has not concealed or hidden anything. Allah is very clear in the Quran. Wherever the hadith in Mubarak is, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He has created an illness, then Allah has created the cure and the medicine for it. With every disease, there's a cure. And this is such a big disease. فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضًا. Allah Ta'ala says, this is such a big disease that summun bukman, they have eyes, they have ears and a tongue, they have everything, the organs, the resources. Despite that, we are blind, we don't see the Quran, we don't understand the orders, we don't hear the orders, we see nothing, we hear nothing. We look at the grave, we don't understand what a grave is. We see a person dying, we don't think, we don't realize the person's dying. And it becomes a tradition that I'll quickly cook some food, the person's died, let's read Quran for him, etc. And we bring maut to this, to these actions. We don't see the reality. That person has gone into the earth. He used to sleep on this mattress, on the bed. Look at his life, her life. What time of life that person has wasted. The place that he has gone to, she has gone to. Has he taken anything with him or with her? What they need eternally, permanently? Have they taken anything with them? And this, we don't know this, then there can be no bigger disease and illness than this, that this person is worse than the animals. And if we have this illness, me or you, then what will be our right? Do we have a right to live a life in a nice way? If we don't realize that we are going to pass away and go into the grave permanently, into the phase after that, if today I pass away or you pass away today, what do I possess that I can take with me to the hereafter? Well, I have to believe of yaqeen. This is a weird thing maybe, but we'll have to accept that the hal our life is in now, we will not be able to give the answer for those three questions. We will not be able to answer man rabbukum, man rasulukum, man deenukum. The answer for these three questions can only be given by that person. Only that person will answer these three questions who definitely lived his life under the banner of the deen, who had the fikr that I have to answer to my Lord and I have to answer these three questions. It's not easy to answer these three questions. And only in the answering of these three questions can there be success. Who is not going to pass away? Tell me. There's no deen, no religion, no faith, no understanding of ideology that rejects death. Everyone agrees that we will have to die one day. Nobody can reject this fact. So there are two points, my friends. And I've come here to say this in your service. If you accept, then I will be very appreciative. And if you reject, then fair enough. We have to appreciate that. But I've come to say this, that we have to accept that Allah's ahkams we are rejecting, Allah's orders we are rejecting. We are doing all of those actions that today Allah Ta'ala has told us before, if you do these actions, this will take you to hellfire, this will give you adab, this will reduce your barakat, this will destroy your life, my adab will descend on you, you will live a life without any peace, satisfaction. Many nations before you were destroyed due to this. Quran has given the examples of this. So big a disease, and we need to take hold of the cure for this disease. There are two options. Either we run towards the cure, just like the doctor says to you that you have cancer. Will you stay at home? Will you stay at home? If your doctor tells you you've got tuberculosis, will you stay at home? Will you remain at home? That you've got skin disease, will you stay at home? To this extent, if the doctor says that you have got 7 days left in life or 4 days, despite that, we will say to the doctor, is there a method I can be saved? Is there a tablet I can eat? Is there a remedy? So let's all today collectively think, my friends, that if only our death is not like this, may our death not come in this way, in the way that the scene of the Quran has been presented to you, may our death not come in that way. Like the Quran says, Allah's kitab is saying, Allah's kitab, Allah's book is saying, that why don't you understand this point? Why don't you realize your grave is coming nearer to you every day? And why do you do those actions that I've told you to refrain from? Think. We need to think about this time and time again. Time and time again we do those sins. Time and time again we make those mistakes. We don't listen. We don't hear. We don't understand. So there's one scenario that we accept ourselves as the patients, as ill, and we start the cure today. Or the second scenario is that we agree and accept that, oh, I'm going to Jahannam, I don't care, I'm going to go to hellfire, the adab of the grave will come unto me, here my life will be without any peace, and I have no care. no regard. May it not be that we accept scenario number two. Now, if we accept scenario number two, that's not good. But if I accept scenario one, that I need to cure my maladies, alhamdulillah, such a big disease. Allah Ta'ala's karam, His mercy, fadl, grace, that so big an illness, so big an illness, nifaq, hypocrisy, that takes a person to hypocrisy and shirk and kufr, maut, will take us away from all of the reality of life. And such an easy solution, such an easy solution Allah Ta'ala set aside that we cannot imagine. Easy solution for this problem, that we reject Allah and His deen. We cannot imagine that the solution is so easy, that we cannot even realize or ever repay the favor of Allah. That so easy is the solution, but the solution should be massive and hard. But so sad, it's easy, but our nafs and shaitan have overwhelmed us, that cure that Allah has given to us, we don't bring it into our lives. We don't bring into our lives. We don't bring that solution into our lives. Brothers, please promise me, I will tell you the solution, the cure. You promise that inshallah we will implement the cure. Will you do it, brothers? Inshallah. Is this a true promise? Okay. If you don't be agreed that we cannot be remedied, we cannot get the cure, we will continue to be sinners. No. If Allah has made me and you with ease come here, Allah has given us the ease to recite the kalima, and the kalima is on our hearts, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us so much due to this kalima that we've recited, due to having iman, that the whole dunya, the whole world, the biggest of people who don't have iman, the biggest of people who don't have iman, but if we take the worst and the sinful Muslim who has kalima in his heart, Allah ta'ala says, I want to save this person, the mu'min, from the fire, despite him being most sinful and a bad person. So we need to be saved from the fire, my friends. Severe sins are waiting. Severe sins are waiting. We cannot imagine at the time of death how difficult a time it will be. The time of death is very severe indeed. Very severe indeed. If only a person who's dying could tell us what's his feeling and pain at that time. All dreams vanish at that time. All dreams evaporate at that time. Somebody asks a dying person, shall I give you so many million? Shall I give you gold? Shall I give you land? Shall I give you some work to do in the world? Shall I make you famous? Shall I show you a match today? Shall I take you to such a good place today? Will anything of the world look nice to the person who's on the banks of death? Jinnata there, shaitana there, they're trying to deviate him, take his man away from him. He has nothing left to his name that he can fight them off with. He'll have nothing. And he will have such an ugly, you'll see ugly figures, ugly faces. We're stood next to the person who's dying, and we aren't seeing him. He's watching what's happened. Many events I've seen in my life of death. Many events I've seen firsthand. I can testify that I've seen myself, somebody passing away, and I've seen those faces. You cannot imagine, has such ugly faces and figures next to a person when he's dying. Big teeth, black faces, their faces are ugly and disfigured, and they're laughing with the teeth, sat next to a person dying. They sat on a chair next to the dying person. They're trying to overcome his iman, grab his iman. Tell me, what will happen at that time? So what, don't we under yaqeen that Rasulullah has told us these words? He has told us these points. Upon seeing, we don't have yaqeen. But those words that have come out from the blessed statements of Rasulullah, they are more confirmed and a fact. The eye can deceive, but Rasulullah's blessed statements can never deceive. Nothing can take deceit after hearing what Rasulullah has said. And these words and warnings have come from Rasulullah direct, that this is what happens to a person who's dying. And today, this gathering that is formed here around us, that I mean, I've not come to give a speech, I've not come to give a lecture, I've not come to deliver a bayan, I've not come to give technical knowledgeable facts, I've come to present a condition that you've given me these flowers, and I would like to give you the flowers of Jannah, paradise. Please accept my flowers today, inshallah. Inshallah, if you accept my words today, if you accept my gift today, inshallah, guaranteed, I say this clearly, the first guarantee I'll give to you today is one, that these gatherings are not normal. Your coming is not normal today. Me, I ask you a question today. The amount of people who are sat here today, before today, have you seen me? You may have seen me. Many people know me, but many people don't know me. Many people have not seen me. From everyone who is here today, maybe there's one individual sitting here today, due to him, Allah Ta'ala sent me here today. Subhanallah. Due to him, he has so much muhabbat. Allah loves that person so much. And Allah Ta'ala has so much worry for his iman. That Allah Ta'ala wants you to correct his iman. Allah enabled this gathering. Allah picked me up from where I was. I was in the state of ill health. Allah sent me out of my house and I phoned up. Asked Mawlana Sahib, could I come today? Give me permission. I asked for that permission. This is not some minor matter. Was this a pre-arranged program? Was there any preparation? I didn't know myself. Asked the person who I spoke to. He himself was shocked and surprised. So this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the system of Allah. Allah ta'ala wants that no individual from the ummah of Rasulullah SAW should go into Jahannam. No individual. And on top of that, the blessing, congratulations I give to this gathering. And due to you, I would like to congratulate myself because I am the person who's getting reward today in success. I am indeed desperate. I need to be saved from Jahannam. I am stood in hellfire. You are pious, all of you. You are saved. Allah Ta'ala has given me salvation today, inshallah, due to coming here. Guaranteed. And I will present to you again the guarantee of that blessed statement. I've come to this gathering, the doors have shut. And those women who are online listening to this gathering, in any corner of the world, New York, California, India, Pakistan, Zimbabwe, the whole world, this majlis through this mic is being delivered. And people are awake. Everyone, I say the same, who is involved in this gathering, the first reward, what is that Allah Ta'ala will give? Which is the most biggest desperate need of us in the Akhirah. In the Akhirah, we all need this, and I say everyone to this, don't look at your sins. No, our sins are nothing in front of the rahmah, the mercy of Allah. How dare anyone today look towards his sins? You may have done zina 1,000 times, drank alcohol, you may be immersed in sins, drowned in sins. There can be nobody bigger sinner than me who is sat in front of you. There's no bigger sinner than me. That my sins are fill the gap between the heavens and earth, but you are mashallah pious. Don't lose heart. Don't lose hope. Look towards Allah's rahmah and mercy and have yaqeen on these words that I'm telling you. That the first reward that will be given to the people in this gathering is what? That is very small in the eyes of Allah, and which is very big for us, is that you, before you even depart from the doors at the exit of this gathering, the news will be announced that you are forgiven. You are forgiven. Say Subhanallah. Say again Subhanallah. Say again Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala will not ask you, what is your maslak? Who are you? What's your ideology, belief? What do you do? Where do you go? Why are you here? Etc. Allah Ta'ala will not ask anything. Allah says, my rahmah is here. It's alive. I enable this gathering. I send the angels to the gathering. Allah Ta'ala said, open the doors of paradise. I said, prepare the hoors, the maidens I selected in the individuals. I sat them down and I sent my ghulam myself for this reason, because I want to forgive the people in this gathering. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So, have you not got this reward? One hadith, two hadith, three hadith. How many hadiths shall I mention to you upon this subject? Mawlana Sahib sat here, not one, many Mawlanas are present here, scholars sat here, and through their gathering, through their knowledge, and I stand behind them, behind their guidance, say I am nothing. They are the honorable, respected scholars, and they will testify that what I'm saying is correct. That whoever's come to this gathering, Allah Ta'ala will forgive that person. When he departs, he will depart as a forgiven person. Forgiven. Subhanallah. And the second point, the second special, you can say, result of this gathering, you are listening to what I'm saying, my words. The second special result that will come, that many people have not come to this gathering, they will have not had a chance to come, such kalimats, verses Allah Ta'ala will allow us to recite, that we cannot imagine we will recite those verses today. Tell me. So in life, in our life, hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel, we will have not recited these verses. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel, Allah will make us recite these verses. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. What kalima is this? What recitation is this? Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu stated that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, I'll just summarize this in a short way, that when Nimrud set the fire alight, and it was a big fire, wide, expansive, intense, hot. We all know, we've heard this. And when he prepared the fire, Nimrod, and he threw objects into fire to make it hot, intense, and all of the angels were surprised and shocked, that Jibreel alayhi salam came and said to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, that do you have my need? Shall I help you? Shall I assist you? To Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. Then Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, the words he stated, these were those words, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Allahu Akbar. When these words came out of his mouth, blessed mouth, from Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam's Mubarak tongue, then Allah Ta'ala straight away revealed the verse which is concealed and revealed and sealed in the Quran. What nur on this verse, this kalima. Imagine. Oh fire. Become cool. Allah Ta'ala said, with peace, and give salamati and peace and coolness to Hazrat Ibrahim, to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Subhanallah. So these kalimats, verses that Allah Ta'ala has put in a result, a capacity in this verse. Allah Ta'ala see these verses in the Quran, that whoever recites these verses, Alhamdulillah, then for that person, he will get ease in this life, that Allah Ta'ala's help will start to descend on that person. Such azim, azim kalimat, hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Another event that I remember today, that has come to my mind today, has a Zainab, our mother, Ummahatul Mu'mineen. And she was present one day, and Hazrat Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anhu was present, both mothers of the believers. That, oh Aisha, do you know that all the nikahs that happened with Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, And they all occurred that everyone has a nikah like the awliya, but I am wahid, one who Allah Ta'ala has made my nikah with Rasulullah. Allah Ta'ala enabled that. Has Aisha heard this and said, you are correct in what you're saying, but with me there's also a point. And she said, what? That when Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala allowed me to get wedded to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then those kalamat Allah Ta'ala revealed those verses in the Quran when I was wed. And such Allah Ta'ala revealed that that verse will never be wiped away, nor will those words be wiped away. And I remember that Allah Ta'ala allowed my wedding procession to leave with those verses. And Hazrat Zainab went quiet, oh, you've got the reward there. But tell me one point, that this fadl that Allah Ta'ala has given to you, these kalamats will reveal, and in that time and that place, that tell me, what did you do? What action did you do? What was it that you did? How comes this occurred that Allah Ta'ala gave you such a great reward? She said, I didn't do anything. But when this happened to me, then I said, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. When sadness came upon me, then I'd say this verse. So we'll recite this as well. So imagine the thawab that we will get, the thawab. Could we imagine in the morning when you woke up that you will recite these verses in a gathering, in such a gathering, by which Allah Ta'ala will gather that gathering, will gather together and recite these verses, and then these verses the angels will take to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala and deliver them to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. We'll recite these verses, alhamdulillah. We'll recite, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This verse is so great. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I saw once that on the arsh, on the throne, there was a lamp, you could say, like a lamp type structure, and the whole of the heavens, the light, the noor, such a beautiful like lantern lamp that I cannot mention to you, like a lamp. And I asked them, what is this? And I was told that this is the lantern of La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. It's a container of La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Such a great kalima. Subhanallah, we hear this from the ulama, respected scholars, that 99 illnesses, the medicine is contained within this kalima. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So how much do we recite this kalima? Tell me. Do we recite this regularly? Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. How many times do you recite it when you have a problem? When we have a problem, do you have a kalima, or do you run after somebody for a magic, to an amil, to a magician, to an exorcist, to a palm reader, to people who are not on the path of Sharia? We do wrong actions. We take all of non-Sharia assistance to solve our problems. Have we ever thought that Allah Ta'ala has given us such a great dua? Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Summun bukman umyun. Same point comes, as stated in the beginning, that the cures that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, I tell you clearly, Allah Ta'ala has given us these cures, but we don't run towards them. We don't believe in them. And then despite all this, we'll recite another kalima on top of this. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. What a great verse. Great kalima. Great statement. Hazrat Sa'd radiallahu anhu stated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that this kalima, that the prophet of the who went in the stomach of the fish, this is his dua. And whoever recites this dua, then just like Allah Ta'ala took him out of the three darknesses, then Allah Ta'ala will take that individual out of three darknesses, whoever recites this kalima. Subhanallah. Tell me in our lives, how many times in a gathering have we recited this kalima? How many? Have you ever had an opportunity to recite this verse? So many months, years have passed. Allah Ta'ala has given us an opportunity today to recite this verse. Subhanallah, many recited these verses with me. Many years have passed. They don't get the opportunity to recite this with me. And those fortunate people, morning they recite these, and in the evening they recite these. Subhanallah. So alhamdulillah. And hour and a half with the fadl of Allah, they recite these verses. So tell me, ajeeb taqseem, distribution of Allah. Such a valuable recitation, the three darknesses. This humble servant is thinking, what are those three darknesses? So let me tell you, while I mention this statement, that we will come into a severe darkness. As Yunus alayhi salam, what were the three darknesses that he faced? There was an intense dark night, and it was in the layers, the depths of the ocean, and the fish in whose stomach he was in, the whale, the fish, it was intense darkness in his stomach. So these were the three intense darknesses that he was in. My brothers, we will also be faced with three intense darkness scenarios. One will be the darkness of death, in which a person is enveloped by a darkness when the person dies. The second darkness will be the darkness of the grave. My friends, will there be no light, no noor for a person to be assisted, and we'll be buried a few feet below the earth, and then we'll be concealed, and the earth will be thrown on top of us. And the third darkness, which in the hadith is mentioned, the day of resurrection, don't ask what that darkness will be and in which heat it will be surrounded by. So this humble servant thinks that those three darknesses of Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam, those were those three darknesses they face. And for us human beings, what are the three darknesses? The darkness of death, the darkness of the grave, and the darkness of Hazrat resurrection. That person who recites these kalimats, alhamdulillah, he will be saved from those three darknesses. Allahu Akbar. So today, the three kalimats, the barakat, the blessings of these kalimats we will attain. I've not come to waste your time, inshaAllah. you will take from here many treasures with the fadl of Allah, the grace of Allah. Those treasures that will continue with you until the day of Qiyamah, insha'Allah, insha'Allah. And other kalimas will recite, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum Bi Rahmatika Astaghiz. Tell me what is the greatness of this kalima. This is the status of this kalima is so great. Just like Rasulullah is the greatest of all the prophets, this kalima is the greatest of all the kalimas. This was the dua of the other prophets. And this is a special dua that Rasulullah, Nabi Al-Karim himself would recite when he had a problem. He would recite this, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum Bi Rahmatika Astaghiz. And there are many events that record this. Verify this, and there's another kalima verse we'll recite on top of this. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. Subhanallah. This is an ajeeb, beautiful, unique verse. And the shan, the status of this verse is that Imam Bukhari rahmatullah has explained the glory of this dua and verse. Look, when a person starts a kitab, there are two things in a kitab. The start of that kitab, the beginning, in a beautiful way that book begins. And the ending, the conclusion of that book is in a beautiful, unique way. So these two things are so great and fantastic that if we look at any kitab which is famous and great, and this is that kitab, Sahih Bukhari, that was written by Ithnillah, with Allah's permission. And just like the ulema, the respected scholar said, after the Quran, the Sahih al-Bukhari has the greatest status from all the kitabs. So tell me that Sahih al-Bukhari, that if we with the kalimat, which kalimat did Imam Bukhari summarize and finish off his recording? Subhanallah wa bihamdi, Subhanallah al-Azim. That these verses are light on the tongue, but they will be heavy on the scale and are very beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, Subhanallah. And how much thawab? Say Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. Subhanallah, the whole heavens and earth, the gap between it is filled with the benefit and the blessings. Tell me, how great. And totally we came empty handed. Allah is sending us back as the richest of the people. Between the heavens and the earth, the whole gap is filled with treasures. Another kalma we recite, Subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar. Allahu Akbar, ajeeb, beautiful, ajeeb kalima. Ajeeb, unique, brilliant verse. This is the qualities of this verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that all the kalimats, the most beloved of all of the verses and kalimats are these verses, this dua. Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that everywhere in the world which is lit up by the sun, Allah ta'ala says that I love these kalima more than all of those places that are lit up by the sun. Imagine the greatness of these verses. And for us, these are great. And with regards to thawab reward, in the hadith it is stated that the Quran, after the Quran, the greatest verses are these four kalimat, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wa la ilaha illallah. And on every kalima, on every verse from these four verses, 10 rewards will be recorded to that person's record books, just like when you recite a letter of the Quran, you get 10 rewards. Another quality of these kalimats, what a great quality, that these four kalimats will become like a rope between a person and Jannah. That, for example, when a person will be saved from the fire of hell, that left, right, forward, backwards, four places, four sides, these kalimats will surround the person and won't let him burn from the fire of hell. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wa la akbar. Allah will give us the tawfiq to recite these as well when we recite. And then after that, a beautiful kalima. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Subhanallah, glory be to Allah. This is such... You can say that when two oceans meet, when Wahdaniyat and Rasalat meet, the oneness of Allah and the exclamation of Rasulullah's greatness, Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, will exclaim the greatness of Allah. And then the great praise of Rasulullah via Durood, when this will meet with the glorification of Allah, then what can I tell you about the thawab for this? The taste, the enjoyment of this will be unique with the fadl of Allah. So my brothers, what is this all? What is this all? This is Allah Ta'ala's great... His grace and blessings and mercy that Allah Ta'ala has decorated this majlis with His dhikr. So as I was saying, my brothers, in this majlis, the thing that we have to take, the cure, the medicine that we have to take, what is that? The medicine of what? The Allah Ta'ala's ahkams, Allah's orders that descend on us. Why don't we do amal on this? Why? Those adab, why do we take adab? Why don't we understand the points? Why do we lie? Why do we do dirty actions? Why do we do bad actions and sins? To be saved from what? The reason for this is that Allah Ta'ala says that your qalb, your heart, there is malady. There are maladies and illnesses in your heart. Ya Allah, what is the cure for the darkness and the illness of the heart? Please Allah, tell us the cure for the maladies and the disease and the illness of our heart. So then Allah Ta'ala, we say, Allah, we want to cure this so we can become good. Then the answer comes from Allah. Allah says, I've made the cure for this. Everything, for everything Allah Ta'ala says, I've given a cure. There's a cleaning agent which purifies everything. And for the heart which is black, to clean it, the cleaning agent is dhikr Allah, the remembrance of Allah. Dhikr Allah, the remembrance of Allah, the remembrance of Allah, dhikr Allah. This is the cleaning agent for the heart. The dhikr of Allah, Allah Ta'ala's dhikr. If we recognize and realize that, oh, my salah is incomplete, we don't fulfill the faraid, we don't accept the sunnah actions, we are ashamed of the sunnah, everything that will give us progression and promotion in the hereafter and will save us from hellfire, we run away from those things, we make excuses, we're embarrassed, but this will happen, what will happen in the hereafter, this will happen. So it's stated that this is our loss. So what shall we do? Straight away, let's go towards the dhikr of Allah. Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, let's perform it, let's do it, let's do the dhikr of Allah. If we don't do the dhikr of Allah, if we don't remember Allah, if we don't start the dhikr of Allah now, my friends, then remember, in no way will the disease of the heart be cured, and no way will we be able to practice the deen, and in no way will we be saved from the fire of Jahannam. No way. Allah Ta'ala has given us this. He's given us the cure. Okay, fair enough, I'm ill, I commit sins, whatever happens, but don't leave dhikr. Don't leave the remembrance of Allah, regardless of whatever challenges are facing you. Do you understand the importance of dhikr? Don't leave the dhikr of Allah. If we leave dhikr of Allah, then the heart will be spoiled. If the heart is spoiled, then a person forgets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, becomes blind. And the eyes are physically not blind, like the Quran says. The ears, you don't become physically dumb. What happens? The heart becomes blind. The heart does not see when he starts to do zina. He doesn't see whose mother, daughter is this, whose sister is this, whatever. His heart becomes blind. Just like a blind person cannot see him going right or left. Is there electricity here or a pole or a lamppost? He can't see. So that person, the human being, is blind. He does zina. He performs zina. And he doesn't see the darkness. And he destroys other people. He'll throw a bomb into a masjid. He will send destruction into society. He'll finish off the acts of good manners and akhlaq. He'll make excuses that I'm doing Islam, purifying people, I'm reviving the thing, but he's blind at that time. That Islam doesn't give permission for him to do a certain action, he's proud, and he destroys the name of Islam. Like today we are destroyed, we are wretched, we are disrespected, because dhikr of Allah has come out of our society. When dhikr of Allah comes out of society, the basic fundamental of our deen that should be in our lives, it's gone. And after that, nafs and shaitan have grabbed us so strongly that we don't go towards dhikr, we don't embark towards dhikr. I remember a hadith that I would like to present to you. Has Abu Sa'id radiyallahu anhu narrates this hadith, is in Tirmidhi and Ahmad as well. An ajeeb, beautiful, unique hadith. Listen to this hadith attentively, please. Pay attention. The Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhu requested, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they had unique questions. That in the eyes of Allah, close to Allah, who is the greatest of men? A beautiful question, unique question, and the secret is being unraveled today. They're close to Allah. Who is the greatest person? Man, woman, who is the greatest? And then they ask that on the Day of Judgment, who will be the best of people? What great question. Tell me, what can be the answer to this? We have great deeds that we can perform, actions, opportunities, rewards. But the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a habit that within a word or a phrase, he would answer the long question in a concise answer. Not long lectures, not long statements. Within a few words, he would resolve the issue. If I tell you this hadith, that if you want to become the best of people, and in the eyes of Allah, the greatest person, me, you, do we want this? And on the Day of Judgment, do we want to be the greatest of people? Do you want to be this? Put your hands up if you want to be. Then I'll tell you this hadith, the conclusion of this hadith. Okay, fine. Right. So the Sahaba Ikram said that how, O Prophet of Allah, that who will this person be? Which amal? Should we pray tahajjud night? Should we keep fast all day long? Should we go on hajj upon hajj? Should we give sadaqat, charity? This is what should be in reality. Should we do so much ibadah worship that our backs start to bend? Should we stay up all night awake? We are ready, Ya Rasulullah, please tell us. What a great action that Allah Ta'ala, we become so beloved to Him in this world, and the most beloved on the Day of Judgment. Please tell us, what is the action? So we are ready to do this. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam replied, the best action and the best of persons in the eyes of Allah, and on the Day of Judgment, the most beloved of people in the eyes of Allah, that man, that woman, who do in abundance, high quantity, the dhikr of Allah. Say again, Subhanallah. Say again, Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Okay, so now you're speaking here, you're sitting here, we're in the Western Hemisphere, we're in Bolton or Manchester, and we are busy, occupied, we have businesses, we don't get time, we've got shops, I have to go to work, I've got employment, I go to a factory. What things are you telling me here? And what country are you speaking about? That can happen in Pakistan or India or Bangladesh. How can I practice this here? How can I do dhikr in abundance, kathir and kathira? If I have praise Allah, that's enough. I can't even do more than that. Tell me. My brothers, if the Quran has given us solutions, then can these not be solved in Bolton, Manchester, etc.? Come to here, the same town, city. Morning, 1.5 hours, we sit down this Jamaat and do the dhikr of Allah. 1.5 hours. Many people, scores of people sit in that masjid. Today I speak about this country. What a big excuse. Made by who? Those people who work. They drive taxis. They run shops. They have businesses. They work. They teach. They educate. They are mudarris. They are scholars. Hafiz, qaris, alim, scholars, muftis. You name it. From every part and facet of the world. Every man is sat there after Fajr. 1.5 hours doing maraqbah. Remembrance of Allah. And they pray ishraq and then they're free. Tell me, how can we say that this Jamaat Allah Ta'ala doesn't create a group of people who remember Him? Subhanallah. But we have lost hope. And those people who should do this, they don't even realize that what have we done. Those people, they have done it and they've taken it. And this is that Jamaat of the Ummah. I will say this from my heart, the depth of my heart. This is that Jamaat that when it rises, then the whole Ummah, the adab that's about to come on the Ummah, Allah Ta'ala removes the adab, the punishment that's coming on the Ummah. Subhanallah. Is there any example that's equivalent to this? Is there any example in the universe equivalent to this? About which Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that dhikr is such an action that one dhakir, a generation will come, that one dhakir who's doing the dhikr of Allah will be such a person that imagine a desert full of sand and he stood there like a green tree. And that's the example of a dhakir in this day and age. So Allah Ta'ala shows and demonstrates that how can you say in that same country, I will demonstrate to you that country where you say that cannot happen. Allah says, I will generate people. I'll create people who do this action of dhikr. And sadaqah continues of a wali of Allah. That's what's really happening. It's the walis of Allah who continue that work. Where in Gadai Sharif there was a wali of Allah. And hey, alhamdulillah, his faith is spreading and distributing daily. Ongoing. But we don't have that conviction in our hearts. It's not hard. It's not difficult. Doing dhikr in high quantity, high abundance. If we do the action of dhikr kathir and kathira, what will we receive? Look, let's remind ourselves. What's the reason we don't do it? Because kathir and kathira, and we say salah, fasting, hajj, zakah, no name has come of anyone to do this worship. But this is the essence of the ibadah that we're talking about. When an individual is weak in faraid and amal, salah, hajj, sunnah action, salah, jamaat, congregation, we're sat, all of us weak, me, same, all of us. So if we are weak, if I am weak, then Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us the cure, dhikr of Allah, which will cover everything, which will correct everything, solidify everything when we start doing dhikr of Allah, then in reality our salah will become good. And so good will our salah become that that person starts to pray tahajjud. This is the cure. What is the cure? That his heart is being corrected. When the mu'min's heart is corrected, then the special nur of Allah descends onto the heart of that person. And one point, remember today, that if we are weak in everything, if we seem weak in anything, in salah, in wrong actions, in sins, etc., don't stop there. Don't stop there. If you started to do sins, you're doing bad actions, sinful actions, immodest actions, then say, I have to cure myself. Otherwise, death will be very severe. And on top of this, we need to not say, oh, it's okay, I can't do anything, if I don't have a beard, no problem. If I don't practice deen, no problem. If I sin, no problem. Never think like this. Don't think about adab, it will not come. Allah says, I give you a chance. And such a gathering, I deliver you messages, I forgive people. And today, this message, please listen. I haven't come here to give a speech or a lecture or to give you a nasiha. I've come to cure myself. Today, I told you this before, that this is my hal, that my life, the sins have filled the gap between the heavens and the earth. So I'm with you as well. And today, let's do one action. That's it. Don't do any other action. Don't. Just do one action. That however weak I am, but I will definitely do the dhikr of Allah. Do you make this promise? Inshallah. It's true promise, solid promise. Raise your hands if you make this promise. Subhanallah. That's it. Put your hands down. Okay. So now, dhikr of Allah. Dhikr of Allah. The remembrance of Allah. Look, my brothers, all of these points I've mentioned to you, these kalamats, these verses, okay? Fine. So what great verses these are. Now, I will tell you such an action that all of these kalamats, rather greater than these kalamats, take all of these kalamats, verses, all adhkar, all verses and du'as, a recitation of Allah Ta'ala has, you can say, summarized and drawn a conclusion, all of these in one statement. If you recite this one kalama, then you'll get the rewards from all of the kalamats that I've mentioned. Now, we don't have time, we're busy, we're living in the day and age of technology and fast movement of time. So Allah Ta'ala has made such an easy way out for us, that with a small action, Allah Ta'ala says, you'll fulfill all the, now all these kalamats I've recited. Women will be thinking, men, okay, I need to start reciting Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel 100 times, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minadh dhalimin 100 times. And then we'll, a lot of time will be consumed. I'll tell you such a point, such a dhikr, such a remembrance of Allah, that after you start that, you won't need to do any other dhikr. Whenever you are free, instead of going towards those kalamat, you should start doing that dhikr that I will tell you, Alhamdulillah, you will get that whole collection and summary of all those kalamats in that one dhikr, that one remembrance of Allah. What is that cure that Allah has given? What is that remedy? Do you understand what I'm saying? Shortcut dhikr. One kalma I'll tell you. One recitation of the name of Allah. And number two, I'll tell you how to do that dhikr as well. Do you need a tasbih? No? Oh, I have to have a tasbih in my hand all the time. That's too hard. Oh, people say, what's he doing? He keeps on having a tasbih in his hand, and now I'm ashamed. They'll say, I keep doing ibadah. I'll tell you, such a dhikr, you won't need a tasbih in your hand to do that dhikr. Okay, fine, I don't keep the tasbih. But where shall I do wudu from? I have to do wudu. I won't be able to be in wudu all the time. Okay, fine, I'll tell you that kalima, that you won't need to have wudu to do that dhikr. Subhanallah. I'll tell you that tariqah, that method of doing that dhikr. Subhanallah. And then after that, okay, I have to drive my taxi, I have to open my shop, I have to run my business, I have to teach my children, give time to my family, etc. Okay, I will tell you that method, that in that method you will have no disturbance, no disturbance. Subhanallah. Yes, so you will not be disturbed by anything. So this is very easy for us. Very easy for us. So it's very easy to implement, Alhamdulillah, and to recite it so easy, and the thawab is such that on the day of judgment, you will be the best of human beings. You will rise as the best of human beings. So I tell you that dhikr? Will you all of you do this dhikr? Inshallah, true promise. Shall we start? If we start, then I will tell you. And I'll give you permission to do that dhikr. And I will make you a Naqshbandi as well. So you include in the Naqshbandi series. I will allow you to enter into the Naqshbandi series. Order. Is that fine? Okay, mashallah. But now, the condition here is, the point here is, that before we start doing dhikr, I will teach you this dhikr. I will explain you how to do this dhikr. I'll give you ijazah, permission to do this dhikr. And alhamdulillah, this is what I came to do. This was my objective of coming, my purpose. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. You've accepted my invitation. You've accepted my da'wah. Alhamdulillah, when I return, then all of you will be dhakirs with the fadl of Allah. All of you. MashaAllah. Okay. Shall I teach you how to do this dhikr? Okay. Fine, but one point. That when a human being wants to change his life, improve his life for the sake of the hereafter, then first he needs to make his accounts with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's obvious that a person changes his life. So Allah ta'ala says that you need to present your deeds to me and close your accounts. You have to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah, I am impure. I am a sinful person. I have wasted my time. I want to change my life for the better. We all have to say this, don't we? Yes, I am a sinful person, I am a joker, wasting my time. You know me, Allah. There are many things about me, Allah, that people don't know, but you know. And I want to be good. And you have sent me to this gathering yourself, and I am learning dhikr now. So Allah, how can I have friendship with you ongoing from today? Allah is a Rabb. If you speak to Him like this, then He will reply to you, He's your Rabb, my Rabb. Should we not speak to Him? Yes. So Allah Ta'ala, please tell us. Tell me, how can I be your friend? I am liar, I am deceitful, and you are Rabb. And how will me and you continue our friendship? Allah, please put the line on the ground, draw the line so I can remember you, so I can forget my sins of the past. Say subhanallah. So we'll start from this point, won't we? Or not? Don't we clean our sheep, wipe our slate clean? Is anyone who thinks he's pious here doesn't need to wipe his slate clean? Astaghfirullah. How can it be? How can anyone say that? We are all deceitful and fraudsters, and after dhikr we'll be corrected. I won't go into that topic now. So brothers, let's continue. Let's visit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shall we, my friends? Shall we? Shall we present ourselves to Allah? So why are we embarrassed? Allah Ta'ala is our Rabb. He's calling us to Him. Okay, Allah, we've come to you. Let's speak to Allah. Every man, are you ready to speak to Allah? Allah, look, I've come here. Oh, I extend my hand of friendship. Will you accept my hand of friendship? Subhanallah. Will you accept so I can come forward to you? Will you accept me in this condition? Will Allah accept me? Will anyone else accept me? And Nafs says to me, are you an alim, scholar, mufti? You madman, you don't need this. He needs this. Tell him to do this. Ah, say, no, I'm nothing myself. I am a minor. And thereafter, we will realize who's getting what ajr, what reward. Ah, but I pray salah. And I've gone on chillas, I've gone jamaat. I'm nothing. All of it is fake. It's a joke. Yar, you're a peer. You're a sheikh. You're pious. And people are running after you. Say, no. My nafs is speaking rubbish. And who tells us all of these good things? The nafs. No, I'm a thief. I'm a confirmed thief. Be quiet. Let me go towards my Rabb. Let me extend that hand of friendship. Don't nafs deviate me. So what we realize, no such person should be remaining in this gathering who thinks he's pious and saved. Rather, where should we go? To our Rabb. Will we go? And this is called hazuri, to present ourselves to Allah. In tasawwuf, what do we call this? Hazuri qalb. Presenting our qalb. So we all go to the court of Allah. And my brothers, everyone has to present his own words and statements. I've explained to you, haven't I? Everyone present yourself to Allah. Allah, we've come, and I don't know when death will come. I may die when I leave this gathering. Somebody may be ill, not ill. Somebody may get an attack, a stroke. We are all close to death. We don't need dunya. How dare we think in our mind, I don't have a son or a daughter or no dunya. Don't think these things right now. Think better than this, bigger than this. Because when you make friendship with Allah, then we attain everything. We attain everything. Ask everything from Allah. Allah, we've received everything after asking for your nearness and friendship. Then leave to Allah. If He gives or not, it's up to Him. Allah, please. Allah Ta'ala, if He wants to give, He'll give. If He doesn't want to give, then He won't. There's a delay. It's just Allah Ta'ala's decision. But don't take things from Allah forcefully. No. Take when Allah gives. We've got friendship from Allah. Do you want to make friendship with Allah? Inshallah. Okay, so let's continue. So now, Allah Ta'ala will then give an answer. If you put the question forward to Allah, Allah will give answer. Allah will say, fine, I'm ready. Subhanallah. What will Allah say? I am ready. I'm prepared. I'm prepared. You are my servant. Okay, fine. You have committed sins. You are a gangster, bandit. I've got the list of all of your sins. You want to become my friend? We'll say, yes, Allah, we want to be your friends. We want to do your dhikr. Allah Ta'ala will say, fine. This is between me and you. So in your heart, say three things. Now these three words and discussions we have to have in our hearts, then Allah Ta'ala will forgive us. End of story. Totally end of story. Our slate will be wiped clean, and a new phase of friendship will start, new chapter. So Allah Ta'ala says, say three things to your heart. Do you understand what I'm saying, everybody? What do we need to do? We need to say three things to ourselves. Three statements. And Allah says, then my friendship will start with you. Statement number one, we have to say to ourselves, Allah, I am very ashamed. I'm remorseful. I'm a wrong person. Your Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his appearance, I have not got that appearance. I decorate myself in a different way, and I don't do good actions. All my actions are wrong. I listen to music. I do wasteful activities. I look at women and girls. I do bad actions. We'll have to accept everything in front of Allah. Okay? Now, Allah, my Mawla, I'm ashamed. I'll have to be ashamed. I'll have to have regret. Look, where's your hukum? And look at me, I'm disobedient. Allah, I am deserved of hellfire. I don't know how you've allowed me to come to the gathering, this gathering, and I have made everyone in this gathering impure due to my presence. And the angels are ashamed of me. So I'm ashamed, Allah. I'm sinful, I'm dirty and impure. And I deserve not to have anything. And then secondly, after being ashamed, we have to say, Allah, the sins that I am committing, I right now will eliminate the sins I'm doing. Allah, because I want your friendship, isn't it, Allah? So I need to get rid of the sins that I'm implementing today. Even if afterwards shaitan makes me repeat those things, don't worry. He won't make you do it. Don't think this, oh, if I repent, then I sin again. Forget about that. Don't worry about that. Think now, the bargain that's in front of you now, the transaction. Don't think ahead. Don't think future. If you think future ahead, then shaitan will grab you. Right now, tawbah that we're doing, repentance, alhamdulillah, we're being forgiven right now. Worry about now. This time. Don't worry about the future. Now we're making friendship, extending the hand of friendship to Allah. Allah will save us after. So will you do this, won't you, brothers? So this is it. If you say, no, I can't do this. It's too hard for me. Then make a promise to Allah that I will leave the sins from today. Allah, I'm ashamed. The sins I've committed up today, I regret. And Allah, I will leave those sins right now, right now. And the third action, the third statement we have to say to ourselves in our hearts, inshallah, I promise to you that after today, I will not repeat those same mistakes again. Those same sins again. These are the three statements we have to say. These three words we have to communicate to Allah. Upon these three statements, what is this called? This is the action of tawbah, repentance. Tawbah. Allah Ta'ala says, when you make these three statements and come to me and say these three statements, then even if your sins fill the gap between the heaven and the earth, and there's no sin that you've not committed, when you accept these three statements and verbally state this and accept this, Allah says, I wipe away all of your sins. I don't just wipe away your sins, rather Allah says, I gather all of your sins together, gather them together, and then I transform them into good deeds. Subhanallah. What a great transaction, my friends. So do you all make this promise, brothers? This is tawbah. We'll do tawbah first. Then I will give you the permission of doing dhikr. I'll tell you the method. And then we'll continue. You continue dhikr after that. Yes, from here on after today. Ready, everybody? Okay, let's do tawbah. Then I'll give you 2 minutes. Everyone speak to Allah. These three words, statements that I told you. And recite these statements to Allah. Then after that, we'll do tawbah. and then al-tawbah will be committed. Everyone in this majma, in this gathering, do tawbah and commit yourself to Allah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, I will recite the kalimats and then you repeat these kalimats. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Astaghfirullah ta'ala Rabbi min kulli dhanbin wa atubu ilayh. Amin. MashaAllah, MashaAllah, Alhamdulillah. Now these are the words of the Quran. Allah Ta'ala says that when I allow a person to do tawbah, inna Allaha ghafoor rahim, ghafoor, all sins forgiven, rahim, I transform all sins into good deeds. SubhanAllah. May Allah Ta'ala accept our tawbah. Alhamdulillah. Now, I will tell you the method of doing dhikr that I promised to you. Very simple method, which is that, look, what is that kalima? Which has all of the kalimats that we recite, that summarizes all of them. That is the ism-e-zat, Allah. There's no greater dhikr than this. This is ism-e-adham, the greatest name, the greatest dhikr, adham. Greatest all of the Nur as-samawati wal-ard. Allahu Nur as-samawati wal-ard. There's no greater kalima than the name of Allah. Everything, all good, all benefit is concealed and retained within the name Ismi Adam, the name of Allah. So jalali, this kalima, that no thing in the world can absorb this name. So powerful is the name of Allah. Allah says, one man, as long as there's a man in the world living, who's saying Allah, 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 then Qiyamah will not come. Day of Judgment will not come. Imagine the whole of Qiyamah will be stalled. And so you brothers, imagine when you start to recite this kalima, perform this kalima, dhikr, then imagine your status that you will generate, your heights and your importance that such a great name Allah Ta'ala is allowing you to recite. Do you understand what I'm saying? What is that kalima? Allah. Okay, what's the way of saying it? Not from your tongue. Your tongue is stopped. We have to do it in an afzal way, the greater way to recite this kalima. Yani dhikr, afzal, and the tariqah is afzal. In other words, the dhikr is the greatest and the method is the greatest. What is that tariqah? The method of doing the dhikr is the heart. The heart. We have to remember Allah from the heart, not from the tongue. What is the method? Is that we, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, with peace, ease, relax, close your eyes, pay attention on your heart, and we say from the tongue and the beating of the heart, in silence we say, Allah, 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 Allah. If you practice this, you'll practice this, alhamdulillah, and you will do this, and it'll be Allah's karam and mercy that will come onto your heart. That's it. That was my job, my purpose, and the rest you know, and Allah Ta'ala knows best what He gives to you. The teacher can only bring you to the education and training. The rest is the what you do and implement. The rest is the ikhlas, and if you leave the sins, and if you do muhabbat and love, if you do this dhikr with love and muhabbat and in abundance, then Allah Ta'ala says that my mercy will come into your heart quickly. So just think this, that the more you do this dhikr in high quantity, how? Is that don't leave any time of the day empty. What does this mean when you leave the time of the day empty? Tell me, why do we leave time devoid with voids in our day? You come to the masjid, you recite, you pray sunnah salah. You see 2 minutes are left. You lower your head and do 2 minutes, the dhikr in the heart. Imagine saying Allah once, and it takes you to the heights between the heavens and earth, and to say it in your heart 70 times more. So we shouldn't waste time in life at all. We have no excuses. We don't have tasbih, this and that. That's it. You come, you got ijazah, permission to do this dhikr. Sometimes it happens that a person is lost in this dhikr and he goes unconscious. It takes hours. He does this dhikr for hours upon end. And I would request those people so much, my colleagues who 40 years, 30 years, 25 years, 50 years, who are with me. And they came with young ages, youth, and they've got white beards, and now today they've become grandfathers. For the sake of Allah, do this dhikr. You have to pay your accounts. Leave everything. We are weak. We can't recite long recitation, we can't pray tahajjud, can't pray nawafil, can't give sadaqah, leave everything. First thing, correct the status of your heart. Yes? For example, you pray tahajjud. For example, you give a lot of sadaqah. For example, you pray a lot of nafil salah. You do a lot of hajj. You've become so much. But will this all be accepted if your heart is ill? For the sake of Allah, I say, I swear by Allah, this will be thrown back in our face. These same deeds of ours, our enemies will grab them on the day of judgment and run away with these deeds. He lied, he backbited against me. Allah will say, give your deeds to that person. Transfer them. Allah, he did excess and assert and oppressed others. Allah said, give your deeds to that person. So if our heart is not clean, then our amal, what will happen to our deeds, our Quran, our speeches, our lectures, our hadith knowledge, all of this will evaporate into the wind, into the sky. Qalbin Salim, present that to Allah. Person who presents himself with the Qalbin Salim, Allah says, that will be accepted. Ata'ala bi Qalbin Salim, Allah says in the Quran. That is the person who is successful, who will go to Allah with a pure heart. So Allah has given you the tools, the resources, and the time. Allah says, sit in your home. And after that, Allah Ta'ala says, I'll feed you with food. Subhanallah. This has never been the practice of the world, that if we are in need of somebody, and we have a need, we don't go ourselves. Rather, he fulfills our needs himself. I swear by Allah, that how you have saved us from the fire of Jahannam. Tell me. So, is this not rahmah? If this is not mercy, and what is it? If this is not fadl, then what is it? Me and you, what relationship do we have? What do I need to take from you? What do I feel about you? Fair enough. For example, you could be going to Jahannam, you could be burnt, then burn. But why? Allah Ta'ala is Rahim and Kareem. His mercy, how can Allah Ta'ala accept that in this person living in this locality, that he goes into Jahannam, that they listen to music, musical instruments, and their women do acts of immodesty, and they are believers in me, they have Quran at home, and they disobey me? What's the reason for this? Rather than coming out as walis of Allah, that they come out as thieves and deceitful. Allah Ta'ala, with tariqah, Allah's ummah of Rasulullah gives chance upon chance upon chance. And the basis of our life today has become money for money. America, here, everywhere. And everywhere in the world we wander around. But wretched, lying, deceitful fraud, and we've forgotten our graves. Allah Ta'ala has given a great reward, my friends. My words today have extended quite lengthy. But those people who are present as well, who are dhakir, who do dhikr of Allah, and on this reward of Allah, do shukr and be grateful, and from today, change your lives. Improve your lives, take out the sins. Your tawbah has been accepted, my tawbah has been accepted, inshallah. Everyone will get tawbah opportunity, but you don't get a chance every day. And those people who don't learn, I will ask you. And the person who's learned, he'll get double adab. The person who's already learned, Allah will say, what did you do? I gave you my name. You didn't have the tawfiq to sit down in isolation to remember me and cry with my name. You should have called out to me. But you have the same deceased, dead heart. Dark heart. For every man is lazim, essential, compulsory to do dhikr. It's not a game. It's not a game. Why do we do dhikr? That we want to become walis of Allah? Oh, tell me such a durood so I can see the Prophet in my dream. Tell me such a wazifa so I can do this. I can see Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jai in my dream. This is the basis for us to do dhikr. Oh, servants of Allah, do the dhikr of Allah. So your grave is illuminated. Allah becomes pleased. Allah's Habib becomes pleased with us. Do dhikr for that reason. Make this basis for doing dhikr, and go to the friends of Allah with this basis, with the understanding. Make your basis of your life proper. We've got the wrong basis today. Wrong intentions. Oh, we see wali of Allah, he's a wali of Allah. Go to him, ask him for ta'weez. My daughter's like this, a rebel, my son. This is our basis of going to a wali of Allah. Our requirements. Such small, dirty, impure things we ask from the great court of Allah. Imagine. Go to the friends of Allah and ask for Allah. Ask for Allah. You get Allah from the court of Allah. Subhanallah. Ask for Allah Ta'ala's qurb from the court of the friend of Allah. Ask for Allah's nearness, his friendship, his qurb. And adhere yourself to the pious person, you'll get Allah. If you adhere to the person who's not right, then you won't get the good result. But join yourself to the wali of Allah. Join yourself to the pious people, because they are the wasila to take you to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And especially in this day and age of fitna, generation of fitna, shaitan will destroy us. He will make us a waste. So alhamdulillah, we are grateful to Allah. You have all become dhakir now. You've learned this is a very easy method. So two things. Save yourself from sins. Leave the sins and do dhikr of Allah in high abundance. Don't come into the train. Trap of shaitan. If you know something's haram, leave that sin. Okay, I won't do this. There will be no loss for you, inshallah. Maybe externally you'll see loss, but internally you'll have no loss. There'll be a test and a challenge for you. A test and a challenge for you. Doesn't matter what happens, I cannot leave this. This is haram. This is unlawful. Because the scholars have come and it's proven. The Muftiyan have said this is unlawful. I cannot do this action. End of story. No, it's needful for me, I need it. No, don't talk about need. If this is unlawful, then how can I do this action? I cannot do this action. After that, do the dhikr of Allah. And then if your heart does not open up, then tell me. Look how the friendship of Allah will extend. You've done friendship, made friendship in the world, make friendship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. May Allah ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and the capability. Ameen, let's do a little bit of dhikr. We've done tawbah. Recite Durood Sharif.